everybody, and welcome to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's in that other box. He's Andy S. Mekas, and he's finally back on camera. How are you, Andy?
I got a haircut for this recording. I shaved. I feel refreshed.
Interesting.
And looking forward to going through a lot of headline bullshit this week.
So much bullshit.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of headline bullshit happening. Yeah. We are the ones to sift through that pile of shite.
We're taking that dookie, and we're going to make you a nice dookie pie, and you're going to eat that dookie pie, and you're going to like it. Because, folks, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring two people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice. And we record this live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams every Sunday night. And you could get the video on demand version of this show either from that Twitch page, or you could get the edited down, where it's just the show and nothing else on youtube.com/dualscreenstv one day after the show is recorded. So that'll go up on Monday evenings, usually at around 10 p.m. ish. So we're going to be talking a lot about some next-gen news. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Monster Hunter movie trailer and a subsequent interview that Paul W.S. Anderson had done regarding the movie. We're going to be talking about so many things going on. But first, let us tell you about what's coming up this week on Dual Screens. On this very channel, we have another show called the Dual Screens Podcast. If this is your first time listening, the Dual Screens Podcast is the internet's number one indie developer interview show on the entire internet, probably. And we are actually interviewing Matthew Cote, Cote, right? Of Dead by Daylight. And we've interviewed him, I think, three times now. Dead by Daylight is a favorite of our listeners. So if you want to know about the next gen version of that game, and what's next, and what they might have in store for you, check out that show. That show is going to post on Thursday on the same podcast network. And also, if you are watching on YouTube, it's on this very same YouTube channel. So please hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, so you know when those videos go up. If you want to be a part of the show, if you want to be a supporter of the show, you can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our two Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support, so please head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast and consider giving us $1 for some extra bonus content and hanging out in our Discord channel. All right, before we get into the news, Andy, it's time to get into everybody's future favorite t-shirt, The Adventures in gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
Several games this week, Stephen. I played a bit of The Red Lantern, which is one of our favorite games from PAX East, I think, last year, and also this year, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. It's that dog sledding game.
Red Lantern.
Yes, where you get to, pick some pups and take care of them and mush around the Alaskan plains. And it's a roguelike game, and it's got a lot of story, a lot of heart, and I'm loving it so far. So a full review to come soon on dualscreens.com. Mm-hmm. Another game I've been playing is Pumpkin Jack. Another favorite game of ours from PAX East.
Oh, man, I want Pumpkin Jack.
Pumpkin Jack is a special game. Very special game. It got a little hard after the demo was that we played a while back and the recent PAX Online demo. But it's a lot of fun. It's very, very cartoonish, very vibrant and colorful. Great soundtrack. And also, full review coming to dualscreens.com.
Oh, another full review.
Sometime this week. And lastly, I played about 2 hours of Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm.
Which were spent in character creation.
Yeah.
It was about 10 minutes of my character and then an hour plus making what I called my bang fantasy. So the game actually asks you to create a second character that best shows off what your ideal fantasy is in the sexual romantic sense.
Interesting.
And I was like, hell fucking yeah. I was like, all right, brown boy, Asian, all the muscles.
Okay.
I was like, all right, not enough Asian faces, damn it. That was fun, but the game is beautiful. That intro cutscene is insane. It looks super expensive, I might add.
Sure.
But gameplay, I played about, I would say, 20 minutes of it because I was too exhausted from the whole Bang Fantasy. Yeah. But what I did play, I enjoyed. So looking forward to that at some point. And I can announce now, Steven.
Yes, announce
that you're getting your code very soon.
Oh my, I'm very excited.
So you can do some multiplayer jump-ins.
So we have a ton of Baldur's Gate 3 content on DualScreens.com. Head over to DualScreens.com. We have a full written preview on there. And we also have some multiplayer impressions, Stadia impression, and all sorts of stuff. So go over there for that. Check out DualScreens.com. Doing a lot of written content recently. A lot of fun stuff up there. So I've been playing some older games, Andy. One of the newer games that I played a bit, since it is now on console. I didn't play the console version, but because I still have the PC version, but I went back to Forgone. The game is wonderful.
It's a blast from the past.
The game is wonderful. It has some slight, I want to say, late game balancing issues that I think might get fixed as more people are playing late game stuff. But other than
is that still early access or is it?
No, it's out. Released? It's out now. It's fully out now. Is it fully? I think it's fully out now. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it is. But anyway,
aside from the changes.
Yeah, no full review, no review impressions, but like even from what I played in the early access, that is a game that you want to throw on your radar. It is really, really good. I think it's one of the better games out there. So I went back this weekend was a nostalgic, not really nostalgic, like old nostalgia. It was a playing the games that have been in my backlog and then playing something that I haven't played in many years weekend. And it started on Friday when I got involved in a Destiny 2 raid.
Oh, look at you, Destiny 2.
Destiny 2, which I did the whole cloud save thing and my character is now on in the cloud for them. So I was playing the PC version with a PC group of friends, and we did the Leviathan raid. It took us about 4 hours.
Dear God.
It was, that's actually on the shorter end of these raids. Some of these raids could take 7-8 hours.
That's an investment. Uh-huh.
I did that. My opinion on Destiny still remains. It is a lot of bullshit, a ton of bullshit, like menus upon menus and quests upon quests, and this system interacts with this system, and then, now there's limited time stuff for Halloween, and there's just shit everywhere to do in that game.
Is it gonna suck you back in? You feel, or is it a one time deal?
It's too overwhelming for me to invest in a game like that. You have to open up some websites and really dig into what you should be doing and what builds work and what weapons work and what you should be hunting, what armor sets you should be hunting. To me, that's where Destiny loses me as a fan of action RPGs with loot, with the loot stuff. I like the I like the more random loot stuff. I like a Diablo style where it's not go and do this specific mission if you want to get a 10 or 1% chance of dropping this helmet so that you can complete this armor set. Like I don't like that. I'm more of a fan of do your run, increase the difficulty, see how far you can get, see what you can drop, see how your character could improve from there. The other thing I just don't like about Destiny is the skill trees. I think they're boring, and I think that they're way too small, and and the newer ones, that when they add stuff to it, like subclasses, they lock them behind DLC paywall. So you're only have access to your two little skill trees per character, and it's like, okay, do you want to throw knives or do you want to shoot a big or cool handgun? Like, which one do you want to do? Or like, do you want to use a bow and arrow? It's just, I don't know. To me, it leans too heavily on the shooter, the looter shooter stuff, where I really think they should make it more of an action RPG that just happens to be a shooter, like a Borderlands.
Whatever itch you felt, just reserve it for when Godfall comes out in a couple of weeks. So
yeah, but again, the number one thing that I will always give Destiny credit for is the shooting. It feels so good to shoot in that game. Well, it feels
Bungie.
I know, but it's just so much fun to shoot and kill things in that universe that, like, I could turn the game on, put on some podcasts, catch up on my podcast backlog, and just do patrols and not accomplish a damn thing in that game, but just shoot bad guys and maybe find cool items. But, like, that's where the fun stops for me. Like, I don't want to do these dumb fucking Nightfall this, and you have to do it at, you know, three of these missions in a row, and so that you could unlock the thing, and then the powerful Mask of Zumakalis. Like, I just don't give a shit.
Well, like, Steven, Mask of Zumakalis, like, the ultimate item.
I know.
In Destiny.
Anyway, and then I went into the backlog because my chat over at twitch.tv/batchild has finally donated enough bat points to get me to play Resident Evil 7. And I played almost 6 hours of it last night.
Is that the entire game, more or less?
Almost. How long is that game? They're saying I have a few hours left. I looked it up. Okay. I think if I know what I'm doing, I could finish it in less than 2 hours. But I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going in blind. It's a completely blind run through. I don't know anything about the game. Literally,
now,
is it blind
because you're covering your eyes the entire time?
No, man, I'm super focused. Like, when the adrenaline's going, dude, like, my eyes don't blink. The scariest thing about playing that game is the chat fucking with me the entire time I'm playing the game, because they spend their bits on, like, scaring the shit out of me with, like, sounds. Buzz Killington, whenever he comes into my chat for the first time, it plays like an entrance song, and that scared the ever loving shit out of me. The game, it's making me excited for Resident Evil 8. Because I like the way they did new mechanics as far as weapons and item searches, and, like, you still have item inventory management, but it's a little bit more forgiving, I want to say, and, like, because you could combine things kind of right away. And I just think that they took, like, your classic formula and they really married it with a really cool first-person perspective.
It's a really focused game. Mm-hmm. And it kind of takes all the bullshit out of what Resident Evil became throughout the years. And it's a very straightforward horror experience.
It reminds me of Resident Evil 1. Yeah. And it reminded me of when I played Resident, like, you could beat RE1 in like 3 hours. Right. But I remember staying up all night with, you know, my friends were sleeping over. I think it was my friends. It wasn't my cousins. It was my friends. Were sleeping over. And I mean, we played it all weekend until we beat it. Like, they slept over, we didn't go to sleep. We played it until we beat it. And I remember, like, the hardest thing was figuring out the fucking, at the time, because we were so young, I think it was figuring out the chemicals for the plant and all that stuff. But, like, it reminded me of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because what they do so wonderfully in the game is they string you along to the point where you don't want to really stop. Because there's always something happening. You're never wandering around like, where do I need to go? Do I need to do this? Except for my dumb brain where I forget what house I'm in. But other than that, it's like, no, this is very straightforward. You go here. You saw this thing. You know that what kind of item you need for that, because it's kind of common sense. And then you just need to go and find that item. And, like, where can you find that item? It's obviously going to be in a part of the house you haven't been. So start heading that way. I just think they did such a really good job on that game that I'm really looking forward to 8, and I can't wait to see how the story wraps up on it. A minute of Apex Legends, if we can get into that. Let's get into that right now.
Do that.
So the new character is essentially revealed at this point. We know that she's kind of like a not necessarily a hacker, but she manipulates gravity. So right now you could do, like, these little challenges that if you finish all those challenges in the game, and in the normal game, you finish all those challenges, and she'll introduce herself, and you could kind of see how she's going to manipulate things. Like, I think one of her abilities is going to be like a black hole that she throws, like a mini black hole that sucks enemies towards it. So as a way to, like, gather everybody in one spot. She's going to manipulate gravity a lot. So I think it's going to be a cool little, character, but yeah. Alrighty. That's that. I'm looking excited for it. I'm looking very excited. Okay. What do we got for the indie news update? I'm excited for this one too, Andy.
Oh, Steven. Again, a favorite PAX East game of ours. Gestalt, Steam, and Cinder got a new trailer. Mm-hmm. It's coming out this year. We're not sure when yet, but it is set for 2020. So only 2 months to go, and the game will be ours. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. If you like Metroidvanias, if you like gorgeous pixel art, if you like Fallout New Vegas style quest systems, if you dig Dead Cells combat, this game is for you. Mm-hmm. Get it, wishlist it. Mm-hmm. You will not regret it.
Yeah, look up that game. It's Gestalt, G E S T A L T, Steam and Cinder. And it is really ambitious, beautifully drawn. The combat is super flowy, but like the biggest thing that I'm excited for is the Fallout, like you said, Fallout New Vegas style quest structure where you can talk to this person. He needs help doing this, and she could go off and do side quests and level up your character, get OP. Like, I love that about it. It's a 2D. It feels like 2D Fallout. That's what it feels like, a 2D side-scrolling Fallout. Mm-hmm. Super excited for that. All right, Andy. It's time to get into the dual screens rapport. Hit us up with our first story here.
Steven, PS5 is dead in the water. It's over. Pack it in. The analysts have spoke. Mm-hmm. And the analysts have said that the Xbox Series X will have double the sales of the PS5 by Christmas.
Yep.
So yeah, it's over.
It's over.
This comes from techspot.com. It's been 7 years since the last console wars, and statistics indicate that Sony was by far the big winner, selling twice as many PS4s as Microsoft did Xbox Ones.
Right.
The Hoth CMO Clayton Johnson, that's a company, I guess, told TechSpot via email, "If this current trend data is anything to go by, it looks like the pattern will be reversed, at least for the first Christmas." Now, this is all based on searches of Xbox Series X versus PS5. Mm-hmm. They mention upward trends during the Xbox Series X reveal back in December of last year, the price announcements, and just the trends of folks searching for, where can I buy a PS5, where can I buy an Xbox? So they go on to say that once Sony divulged the PS5's pricing and launch date, interest shifted, with consumers searching for where to buy PS5 10 times more than the Xbox Series X by end of September. They also say that the spike for Xbox was immediately following the Series X announcement on YouTube, that it received 14.6 million views since December of last year. So I get it. You're looking at Google data and metrics for trends and see like the public interest, and that's okay. If I search for Xbox, if that's an upward tick in that, that indicates something. But we can't deny things like the PlayStation 5 reveal just 4 months ago has now amassed 33 million views on YouTube in less than half the time. The PS5 UI reveal just a few days ago has amassed 10 million views on YouTube. And we have also with us, Steven, a analyst from Japan saying that the PS5 will sell 200 to 300 million units in 5 years, essentially saying to all of us, this is all bullshit.
Right.
Analysts are concerned. We've had this even 7 years ago when the Xbox One first came out. The initial call there was 300 million lifetime units sold.
Right.
It barely cracked 65, I think.
Yeah.
In lifetime units for the Xbox One. So, and also the most famous one of all was that after the Xbox 360 and PS3 era, we would stop consoles and go into full-blown mobile gaming altogether.
Mobile's the future.
So when it comes to analysts and predictions, it's...
They don't know
anything. It's a nothing. It's a guessing game. They're making a bet. Yeah. Like, this could be right, and if I'm right, I get clout. And if I'm not, well, I'm an analyst. I misread the markets. I misread the signs. The data was all pointing one way. So it's all what it is. We've seen surveys for pre-order orders for PS5 and Xbox Series X. We've seen IGN saying that their most viewed page was on the PS5 reveal and where to pre-order the PS5. So that indicates something. So again, these could be, it's all just sound and fury signifying nothing, like the great Shakespeare once said.
Oh, yep.
And that's that.
All right. So I want to go down to this whole privacy concern. So
you do that. Yes.
There was
you
an update on PSN, and that PSN update had a party, a lot of changes to parties, which I think are terrible.
It's awful.
What they're doing.
It's complete ass.
Essentially, now, in order to start a party with somebody, you have to start a group chat with that person. And the way it used to be is I'll invite you to my party and then, oh, so-and-so is on. Let's get him in here. I would go to our party setting and I would set invite and I would invite that person to our party. Now we would have to start a conversation with the three of us, leave the current party we're in, and then go into and then start a party from that conversation. It is completely asinine. I don't know why they're doing this. It doesn't make any sense. The only thing I could think of is this is in preparation for PS5 because PS5 will probably do this more seamlessly, maybe.
God willing.
And quicker because God knows this is like an extra 15 steps, which is just stupid. But with this update, they had a party safety code notification where they say, and we quote.
I was going to say, friend codes, let's not do that.
We want PlayStation Network to be fun for everyone, which is why we have a community code of conduct. Please be aware that voice chats in parties may be recorded, may, keyword, and sent to us by other users. By participating in voice chats, you agree to your voice being recorded. When behaviors that violate the community code of conduct are reported, PlayStation Safety will review the reports to check if there have been if there are any genuine violations. These recordings will be used only for safety and moderation purposes by PlayStation Safety. And then everybody said, oh my God, they're recording your conversations. They're recording everything. Oh my God, how dare they? Let's go back
to... You're going to ban me for wrong things, Steven.
Let's go to an article that was written 3 months ago.
Oh, 3 months, you say?
Are Xbox parties recorded? Gamers confused to whether Microsoft is spying on them. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to scroll down.
Is that what the Kinect did, basically?
Hold on.
But you scroll down.
Hold on. I'm going to find the quote. Xbox parties are not recorded, but Xbox can listen to party audio files if there are multiple corresponding reports of terms of service breaches. Interesting. We occasionally review a low volume of voice recordings sent from one Xbox user to another when there are reports that a recording violated our terms of service and we need to investigate. This is done to keep the Xbox community safe and is clearly stated in our Xbox terms of services. It's not a big, and it says it's nowhere near what you were expecting, aka it's not some big conspiracy theory of privacy and spying, and said this is an issue concerning independent contractors. Who work with random audio files picked by Xbox and improve voice recognition, blah, blah, blah. So this is not new. Everyone does this. And guess what? This device that is sitting next to me right now, my cell phone, which has G-O-O-G-L-E enabled, is listening to every 15 seconds. It records 15 seconds, deletes, records 15 seconds. Why? So it could hear if I'm asking it questions. It does this. Alexa does the same thing. All these dumb little devices, they all do the same thing. Yes, it sucks because there's no better way of doing this. I don't know why. And it also sucks that online communities have to be shitty enough that we need to record what people are saying to us in them. But this is something that has been going around since the 360 days and PS3 days. Get over it. It's not an issue. It should not influence your purchasing decisions. Also, PlayStation came out and actually reiterated that they are not saving. Imagine them saving
or actively listening to monitoring your conversations. 120
million people's conversations. Like, are you that dense that you would think that they're saving? Some people play games for like 8 hours. They're not saving that. They're not saving any of it. It's just like when you hit the share button. It recorded the last 15 minutes of your gameplay. It's the same thing, except it's going to record.
There's an actual quote here we can read, Steven.
Sure, please read it.
This feature will not actively monitor or listen in on your conversations, ever. Instead, the recording capability is reserved only for capturing audio to accompany reports of abuse or harassment.
Right.
So again, like you made a great analogy with the share button. It captures 15 to 40 seconds of a of your last conversation that you can tap into, that you can send to them for reporting, I guess, harassment or toxic language.
Right.
It's not someone they're like, all right, Steven is talking about.
It's likely to be a local recording because.
Play Resident Evil 7.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be a local recording because that's what the PlayStation does now. When you're when it's looking at your gameplay, it's not in the in a cloud. Right. It's all saved remotely on your PlayStation. Right. If you look at your hard drive, all those files are there, and that's that's most likely. And you know what? I'm going to try and dig around for it because I'm sure there's an there's going to be an article out there with somebody who broke down the back end or whatever and is going to be able to find where these files live on your hard drive. That's what it's going to be. So I really wouldn't worry too much about it.
Right.
Now, Savvy says you can get banned for curse words. No, that is not true. Curse words are not a bannable offense. It nowhere says that. The only bannable offenses are when you are being racist, when you are being threatening, and when you're being overall abusive. So if you go in to somebody's chat and you start cursing them out, yeah, you could get banned for that. That has always been against terms of services. If you, anyway,
whatever. I just love how this morphed into now it's the NSA. That's the comparison now.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, no, you can't, you, the only way you're getting banned for curse words, see, I don't understand. You can definitely get banned for curse words. No, you can't. You can't.
I don't think you can get banned for saying fuck.
You don't get, if you're chatting with your friends and you start throwing F-bombs, you're not getting banned for that, you dolt.
Yeah.
This is for when you're like, playing with, if you're playing with a stranger and you start throwing the N-word around and, they, and they're like, I don't, this is ridiculous. And they just hit the, and they say report. That's what this is for.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think if you're saying shit or ass or dick or cunt or whatever, or cocksucker.
Jesus Christ.
I think, yeah, people need to like just chill a little bit. Let's calm down.
All right. Calm down. let's talk about this let's talk about the Marvel's Avengers here.
Oh my god, Marvel is fucking crashing and burning. They have gone from an all-time peak of 24 or 36, one or the other, 1,000 players peak on Steam to now is 2400 where you have matchmaking struggling.
Yeah.
For the game. And they're delaying not only the next gen version of this, which was supposed to launch with next gen consoles.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a launch window, I think.
Right. But they're also delaying the first DLC characters,
right,
the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
So it's a total shitstorm with this game. I mean, you could tell that it was kind of, I don't want to say half baked, but it was pushed out the door very quickly.
It needed some time, yeah, from what I saw. I mean, again, that was a game that I was waiting on because I wanted to see what the next gen situation would be like. I know it's going to be a free upgrade. I know all that stuff. But I didn't want to invest in the game now and then get to end game and not really have anything to do when it gets the next gen version. I still want to see what it does backwards compatible wise, no matter where you play it. I want to see if there's any sort of enhancements there. Anything at all. Like, even if it's just, maybe even an upscaled resolution, maybe a higher, maybe a more stable frame rate, because I know the game just crawls when there's a bunch of shit going on the screen.
Right,
so
I think,
I don't know.
My best comparison was this feels like it was supposed to be a next-gen game that they just really tried to get to work.
It's possible.
On current-gen systems. Because you can see it's kind of, it's struggling to work sometimes.
What I've seen of it, it looks really good though. When it's in motion,
right,
it's running well.
When it's working, yeah, like bug free and like everything, all the effects are on screen, it's not a super slow down to a crawl. Fantastic. That's why, yes, next gen, I'm all in for that.
Yeah.
But it just shows you how two things. One, the bugs were just so rampant in this game. And then two, there's nothing to do when the game's over. Like the end game content sucks. Like, I played for, like, maybe a handful of hours after I finished it. So you take a 10-hour game, if that, with a great story, mind you. But, like, not many villains. Like, your Marvel's Avengers. Like, there's a whole roster of characters you can tap into. And there's, like, three. in the whole game, which is disappointing. But you have that, and then the bugs, and then no content, and now you're delaying promised DLC, and then it's only 2021 the date for the next generation. There's no actual window.
Yeah,
it's just sometime next year.
Again, so
it's like why bother playing?
Likely
anymore?
Another victim of the whole COVID thing. Like,
yeah, you know, yeah, I get it. I get it.
It is what it is. I still think that the game came out way too early. I think even if they came out, you know, on current gen as like the very last game to come out, like maybe, but I don't know.
It just sucks that we sacrificed Deus Ex for this. That's my only heartbreak.
Ooh,
I missed that franchise. I mean, when I frame it like that, it's even more heartbreaking. But
I know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Monster Hunter.
Let's. This one, you got me to flip on this very easily.
Indeed.
From my initial impressions. But let's get into it.
So the Monster Hunter movie trailer came out, and it kind of caused a little rift. I could totally see your point of view. Now, it opens up with basically, you know, U.S. soldiers or whatever, modern day soldiers, getting transported to the Monster Hunter universe, and are trying to figure out what's going on in that universe. And then you actually see, I think it's a Rathalos, down like a heli or a, I don't know, some military plane or helicopter. I forget exactly what it was, but it kind of like was this marriage of these two worlds, in a sense. And some people were like, you know, that's stupid. We don't need that. Why do we need that? And on the surface, I'd say, yeah, that's dumb. Don't do that. But then I got the explanation from Paul W.S. Anderson, and this was an interview that he did. I think it was with a podcast, but they transcribed a lot of his answers here on Polygon. And it's really cool to see how passionate he is about the franchise, because he is a gamer. He loves Monster Hunter, and he's been playing it for over a decade. He loves Monster Hunter.
Damn.
And one of the things that intrigues him the most about it is when he first played the game, he felt like, and I'm paraphrasing what he says. You could read the article yourself on Polygon. It's a Monster Hunter teaser trailer clip, and then Paul W.S. Anderson interview. He loved so much how when you first go in, you're a nameless, basically, person who has everything explained to you. And the first time you're seeing these monsters is the first time you're seeing these monsters. And he wanted to create a vehicle for that for people who don't know the game, who are going to go see a movie. So his wife, who's playing, who's Mila Jovovich, who's playing the main character in the game, is a conduit for that. Because
I love it. She only gets work through his movies.
Listen, fuck it, man.
Kate Beckinsale with those under
hundreds of millions of dollars.
Those underworld movies.
Exactly. So you have this character who's coming from our universe and is being transported to this Monster Hunter universe so that she can be the conduit for the audience that doesn't know anything about the games. Like, here's this universe. Kind of, she's going to be getting exposition as this movie's playing out in front of her. The effects look better than anything I think Anderson has done ever. The other thing, he's doing a lot of practical scenery. So they did a lot of shooting on location. So you're not going to see a ton of green screening, which is another thing that's really cool about what he does. And Capcom had 100% input and control over the monsters, their design, the weapons, their design, the character costumes, how they look, how everything kind of fits together. So everything that is in the Monster Hunter universe is going to be very faithful to what Capcom's vision is of the universe. The weapons are huge and gigantic and ridiculous, and you could obviously see that a lot of love has gone into faithful recreation of the weapons and monsters in the universe and like all that stuff. So what I'm hoping is that the part where they're transporting to this world is only a part of it. I don't want the Jurassic Park Lost World situation where one of the monsters comes back to our world and they have to figure out how to get it back away. Like, I want her to get stuck in the Monster Hunter universe almost. If that makes sense. Kind of like Avatar. That's how I want it to be. Like, I don't care about Earth. I don't care about
No, see, that's the thing. My issue, dude, it's like, I don't care about the human drama. Like, that's right. Why I think a lot of films like Godzilla, they try to balance out the human emotion with the monsters fighting. It's like, you can't do both simultaneously. Either it's a human story that's impacted by monsters, or it's a straight up monster brawl. And I think when it comes to films like this, I want to see monsters fighting or getting fought by human, you know, adversaries and being taken down by them. Shit like that. So I really wish, though, we had seen a Palico cameo, just to assuage.
He said they're in there.
I know they're in there. I just wanted to see it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see it.
Yeah. But yeah, they're, I think for probably the first time, I am confident in his ability to make a pretty damn good video game based movie.
Cause he's his practice,
his Resident Evils, if you take them for what they are, which are like action horror, maybe it, like, maybe you could kind of put it, like, I put it in the same vein as like Terminator, like,
all right, or like any zombie apocalypse kind of film. It's like, it's an action horror. Yeah, it's a good categorization of that.
Yeah, you know? It's just,
it's gore, got some, but it's got plenty of action too.
It's got some, I mean, you could even, it's, I not think a, the later scary ones, three and four, I think there might be five of them, but those are more like Rambo movies.
I think when they had part four and it was like Wesker pulling out like Matrix bullet dodges, it was like, what are you doing?
Right. It was like, oh, she's the one, Neo. Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But like the first movie and most of the second movie were like pretty cool Resident Evil movies. Like, they're like, oh, okay, they have action, yes.
Because it felt like it was part of that same video game universe, but it's a separate story, from the Umbrella saga. Yeah. So it made sense. But then when you have like Nemesis and you start reading like the Redfields and so forth.
Yeah, and then it Jill was all off the rails there.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, let's go into our next story. Let's talk about this Switch stuff.
Oh boy, Steven, the Switch has set a new record.
Oh my.
22 consecutive months as the best-selling console in the United States.
Wow.
It's a new record. Yep, a new record. And it's actually beat the old record, which was 21 months, figure that, which was held by the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Between August 2011 and 2013.
Wow.
So there's that. Wow. So Nintendo, I'm telling you, man, that Switch is a monster. I mean, for a device that doesn't have, listen, it has some great games.
It's got bangers this year. Especially if you're still Pokemon, looking to get into it.
Got the Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of Mario love lately, which I was a little upset that Mario 3D All-Stars game was like in the top bestseller. I was like, why are you buying this, people?
Because they have no choice, because they can't buy it.
Don't buy these cheap ports.
When March comes around, they can't buy it anymore. That's why.
Yeah. Here's a cheap port, but it ain't cheap to buy, that is. So there's that. So not a lot of, like, when you compare, like, the PS4 in these last couple of months leading into the, you know, end of the year with Final Fantasy and your Last of Us and your Ghosts, and then now with the Legends update. Very slim pickings, I want to say, on the Nintendo front. You've had your Mario part, your Mario, Paper Mario, I want to say, and your Animal Crossing, but this thing, it just can't stop selling.
Andy, you're answering your own question.
Yeah, I am answering my own question. I'm not wondering why. I know why it's selling.
No. You're talking about for us who got it day one. We're having less and less reasons to pick it up right now.
Right. This is true.
I understand that. Yeah. But my God, if you're going out there and you're getting a Nintendo Switch for the first time, you have months and months of just bangers to play. Mm-hmm. Just bangers, except for Breath of the Wild, which we know is just trash. But
listen, that Age of Calamity is going to right a lot of Breath of the Wild wrongs, I feel.
I know.
Before and part two. That game looks really good.
I'm down for that. But no, Breath of the Wild obviously is a banger. It's just not. I didn't fall in love with it like most. But yeah, I mean, it's got an incredible catalog right now. Like, yeah, it's in a little bit of a drought, but like, we're in the middle of COVID. It was probably going to be a down year anyway, but now it looks even worse because the things that were going to come out, kick down the road a little bit more. So I mean, come on. Luigi. It's really Mansion funny how like we're getting some right. really cool games.
It's really funny how Animal Crossing became like the casual, what the Wii was as a system to people who weren't really gamers. Mm-hmm. That is now what Animal Crossing is. I have friends who don't game, but they see like videos and memes and they buy a Switch Lite and they just buy Animal Crossing. And that's all they have. That's all they'll need.
My brother told me today that he is going to get two Switch for Mario Kart.
Interesting. Life. Oh my God.
He wants to play Mario Kart with his daughter.
Which, by the way, I read that you can take outside. It's not advised that you do that. Mm-hmm. Possible, but you shouldn't.
If I had the room, I would get one, but I don't have the room. All right, so let's get into this PS5 UI reveal.
Oh, yes. Let's do some of that. Trending number one for like days, I felt.
So I was listening to...
On YouTube.
I forget what the name of the NG Plus, I think it's called, podcast. It's like a Twitch show that IGN does. I think it's called NG Plus. And it's basically like a news, small half an hour news podcast that they do on Twitch. And they were talking about how Sony hasn't shown the UI. They haven't shown, you know, all that stuff. And they were like, half of them were saying, I don't want to know. I don't want to see that. I want to be surprised when I open up my PlayStation, plug it in for the first time, and I get to see everything.
Fair enough.
And then another person was like, no, I want to see it. Like, give us more. And then the last thing, and it was Max Scoville, the last thing he said was, watch, tomorrow they're going to show us the UI. And that's exactly what happened. Then the very next day, I saw it, and I was like, ha.
That is some pretty wild shit.
Nailed it. Anyway, that's a little side story. So we got a deep dive into not as deep as I would have liked.
No, it was kind of like surface level stuff, I feel.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah, it was more like here's a preview,
brief overview. Right. Yeah.
And then they promised to go into things a little bit more in detail, which they're running out of fucking time. So
it's fucking 3 weeks to feel.
The 26th, 3-4 weeks. When is it? The 26th or 27th, 29th, something like that. They said they're going to do another one of these. So, so they showed us essentially some really cool features where you could do picture in picture. Like if your friends are playing a game, they could invite you to watch them play. You click it and you could watch their whatever they're playing. Watch it in your screen. You could watch that. These have kind of been features that were introduced in the beginning of this current generation with Xbox One, and they kind of just petered out. Nobody really wanted to do them. But now with the solid state drive and just a better GPU, you know, maybe beefier consoles, maybe it's going to work a little bit better that people will take advantage of it. But one of the things that I really liked is you can look at your progression on missions and trophies. So your trophies or your mission will say you're 60, as you can see from if you're looking at the blog post or the video, it'll say you're this level, you're 33% through, and it said you have about 10 minutes left. And if you're stuck, you could hit a hint and you could click and it'll take that video, just like Stadia was doing, where you look at a YouTube video and you could like move it around, whatever. It'll play it and you could just kind of get a hint on how to get past the thing or complete the thing or find the collectible that you're missing for that trophy that you're missing. Really cool stuff. The main thing that I'm excited about before I kick it over to you is that I feel like what this gen seems to be doing as far as this goes is it's getting you out of your phone or computer. And I really like that because that's my least favorite thing is sitting there and having to be like, I'm stuck. Let me look at this video. And then I put the thing up. And I'm watching it and I'm trying to follow along. Like if I could just hit a button and go, I'm stuck here. Boom. What do I do? And it's right there and I could still play and follow along. I think that's awesome. One of the greatest features I think this gen that is sorely underutilized is the share my controller feature. If you and I were playing games, like not even together, and I go, hey, I'm stuck on this Resident Evil 7 boss. Help me out. Share my controller. You could take over my controller and beat the boss for me. That's something we can do now. I can't wait to see what this kind of thing is going to work on next gen consoles, because you got to assume that PlayStation's not the only one doing this. I'm sure Xbox has a similar feature that we just don't know about just yet. But what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I love the whole thing. Looks so slick to me. I love the whole card system they got going on. It looked really nice. I think one thing a lot of folks didn't really catch was when they were playing Sackboy and then going into a match of Destruction All-Stars, you weren't asked to suspend your gameplay or shut down the app for Sackboy.
Yeah, that's the that's that instant.
So that I think kind of hints towards a quick resume of in some capacity.
Well, they said they already confirmed for the PS5. They did confirm that, but I don't know how many titles.
Right, that's Xbox still has up in the air.
Confirmed 5 titles.
Right. So but I was really for sure 5 games.
5.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, I'm into that. Not bad. The picture-in-picture thing got to me the more I thought about it. And I'll tell you why. Imagine you and I both playing Demon's Souls at the same time. Mm-hmm. We're playing, you know, and we're in a party chat, just chit-chatting, playing the game. We both get to a boss. Mm-hmm. You go picture-in-picture. Mm-hmm. And we say, all right, let's see who beats the boss first. Winner gets the blowjob.
Oh my.
Like having like adding that meta game to it, I feel.
Right.
Is going to be pretty fun.
One of the things I think is really cool about this is for streaming, because if I'm playing a game and I'm playing with you like multiplayer, you don't have to be streaming or capturing your video anymore. I could put you as a picture in picture. We could do Tuesdays with Andy and Steve and just play together. And your screen will be there. I hope you could like make it a little bigger or smaller, or whatever. Like, it might take up too much of my screen. I don't know how that's gonna work, but like that would be really cool too. And I hope that they give us the ability to, like, if you're using I don't know what this is gonna look like, but imagine the ability that maybe down the line where you can do, a multiple screen situation where maybe I want to put your picture on my phone, or maybe I want to put your PNP on the PlayStation app on my computer or something like that, so I can watch you on my computer, and maybe I could actually capture that and resize it how I want to for a stream.
And you can capture it in 4K too, which is great.
Yeah, that's awesome too. Yeah.
Yeah, and screenshots as well.
Yep, all that stuff.
It looked really slick to me.
I mean, these things always look really cool. Like when the PS4 was revealed, even when that XMB was revealed, like everything looks cool.
Yeah.
I need to feel it, because you could feel when something runs shitty, like the Blade system on the Xbox One was so shitty. Like it's like scrolling in mud or just anything on the Switch. Like I hate the UI of the Switch too. I mean, it's simple. I guess the games are right there, but it's just so ugly to look at. You know, that's what I want to get my hands on it. And I'm very excited to be able to do that very soon.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Very soon.
Very, very soon. Very, very soon.
All right. So our final little article here was an interview with Phil Spencer.
Yes.
And this is all about the future of Bethesda games. And their publishing and where they're going to go and all that fun stuff. So this is an IGN article. Phil Spencer on whether Microsoft needs, the keyword here is needs, to bring future Bethesda games to PlayStation 5. Correct. And the tagline is here, quote, "We want more people to be able to play games, not fewer people to be able to play games." I'm going to read a bit of this, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think for the context of this conversation, you need to.
So the question was, is it possible to recoup a $7.5 billion investment if you don't sell Elder Scrolls 6 on a PlayStation? Asked Totilo. Yes, Phil Spencer answered, quickly replied. Then he paused. I don't want to be flip about this, Spencer added. This deal was not to take games away from another player base like that. Nowhere in the documentation that we put together was, quote, how do we keep other players from playing these games? We want more people to play the games, not fewer people to be able to play games. When I think about where people are going to be playing and the number of devices that we had and we have xCloud and PC and Game Pass and other console and our console base, I don't have to go ship those games on another platform other than the platforms that we support in order to kind of make a deal work for us, whatever that means. So I have a theory, but I want to just kick this to you to start our conversation here. The question here is, based on how much money they did spend on Bethesda or in ZeniMax for a bigger picture, Do you think that they need to sell these games? I mean, we've touched on this before.
Right.
Do you think that they are in a you can't say financial position because Microsoft is Microsoft, so you don't have to worry about financial position.
$1 trillion. I mean, they're fine. Yeah. They're totally fine.
Like, I'm not worried about that, but I'm worried about more so the...
They could not recoup and they'd still be fucking fine at the end of the day. Let's be serious here.
Yes, yes. But if their goal, and this is where my theory comes in, but I want to wait. Just tell me what you think.
So if they can recoup this, if it wasn't on PlayStation, is that the question you're posing me right now?
I guess that's the question. Like, how would you, if you don't sell these games on PlayStation?
If you don't sell, Switch, well, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like a comparison to Sony where you say they are gatekeeping their games. Let's say a Last of Us 2, and if it were on other systems, wouldn't it sell more? Ergo, by having it on one console, you are leaving money on the table, so to speak.
Right.
In this instance, you have decades-long multi-platform series that could now potentially be locked into one ecosystem.
Right.
Now, do I think that they need to have it on PlayStation to recoup their investment? I don't think so. Will they recoup it faster? Hell yes. Most definitely. I think if you factor in the amount of games that Bethesda pumps out, high-profile titles, when you get those to really push Game Pass as a service, and you push subscriptions, eventually those will add up, and you'll get back and then some on the investment, 100%. I don't see them doing that, though. Don't see them doing it. I think when you look at the Switch... You look at the Switch and you see Ori Cuphead on the Switch and then eventually on the PS4 coming out. Those are markets they don't want to ignore. PlayStation does very well in the software space. Most third-party games sell most on PlayStation hardware. Their global brand and the brand loyalty is massive for PlayStation.
Right.
Like, I would say, when it goes back to analysts and predictions, there's a strong case for Xbox Series X to sell better in the States than the PS5. I can see that. It has two really great priced units, the luxury model, all the bells and whistles, and the on the cheap Series S. And as a Game Pass box, the Series S, if you're pushing that service with your Bethesda games, you're going to push more subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that selling potentially more in the States. Globally, that's not the case.
Well,
ever.
Now, so here's an interesting little proposition, and I'm going to look this up for the converse. But on PlayStation 3, PS3, Skyrim sold 6.5 million units globally on PS3. The PS4 version, I don't know. I'm not really counting that, although I probably could, but whatever.
Skyrim VR.
So what I'm thinking is, if the trends of what's happening on PS4 and Xbox One continue, where it's a 2-to-1 PlayStation lead, right? I think that if you have the potential of selling between 5 and 10 million copies of Elder Scrolls 6 on PlayStation, I don't think you're recouping. You're not, because at that point you would get, I think it would be 30. Let's say it's $70. PlayStation would be getting $25 of that. So you're getting $45 per unit up, saying let's keep it at 5 million or whatever. We could do 6.5 million, whatever it is. Whatever math you feel like doing, they're not going to make that up at $15 a month. For even if every single owner of Xbox One at that point pays $15, you're not making up that other. It's three. You're going to get three times more money from your people that are not going to subscribe to Game Pass. In that instance. Now, yes, there's going to be cross pollination. Not all 6.5 million are also not going to have a 360 and buy, or whatever, or not 360 and Xbox and have Game Pass, whatever. Like, I have Game Pass and I have a PlayStation. Yeah. So right. there's that cross-pollination. Like, for me, I want to spend less money on games if I can, so mm-hmm. I can play more games. So Game Pass makes sense mm-hmm. for me. That,
of course.
This doesn't bother me at all. I don't need to play Elder Scrolls on my PlayStation. But there are people right. who don't give a shit about Game Pass. There are people that don't care about that mm-hmm. kind of situation. They don't have a gaming PC. They don't have whatever. They don't want to buy two systems. They're loyal to PlayStation. And I think that there's a lot of money to be had on the table. However, tinfoil hat, my little theory is I think before this generation, this next generation is 2 years old, I think Game Pass is on PlayStation, just like EA Play is. Mm-hmm. That's what I have. I have a feeling that Microsoft's going to say, hey, we want to put these games on your system.
Day one launch. But here's the catch.
But here's what we want to do. We want to do the same thing that Ubisoft is doing. We want to do the same thing that EA Play is doing. Look at us as a publisher. We want to publish all our stuff on your thing, but we want to give it to as a subscription service. And PlayStation gets a little money from that, as they do for EA Play. I think they get like a dollar per subscription. I mean, I would add Game Pass to my PlayStation Plus if it was, you know,
if it was an option.
If it was 10 bucks to add to that, or like, whatever. Absolutely. Because right now it's what, 15 bucks now, I think, for PC Ultimate? Whatever, 20 bucks, whatever it is. Like, I would absolutely throw that in Ultimate and then, you know, add PlayStation. PlayStation takes a dollar out of that. I think that is more likely to happen than Xbox not putting it on PlayStation at all.
Right.
I think that is the more likely scenario. I don't think there's a reason right now, because Microsoft has said we're not competing with PlayStation. They have a handshake agreement. Like, they're working together on stuff. They're not enemies. They're competition in a way, but they're not enemies. Sure. But like, I don't think PlayStation really gives a shit either. Like, I really don't. So like,
people aren't buying that system for Elder Scrolls. They're buying it for The Last of Us. They're buying it for Spider-Man. They're buying it for God of War, and they will still buy it for those reasons. They're not going to lose a consumer base because they're not going to get Elder Scrolls maybe a day one launch. But there's plenty of software to enjoy.
But I think that when 2 or 3 years down the line, when Elder Scrolls does come out, and people, and people haven't gotten their next gen console yet, because a lot of people wait. I think that's going to be a deciding factor. I love Skyrim. I want to play Skyrim. Where can I play the next Skyrim? Xbox. I'll buy an Xbox.
Or your PC.
Because I'm not buying a dumb. I'm not buying a. Because if you're not buying a next gen console at launch, or at least within the first 3 years, or until Elder Scrolls comes out, guess what? You don't have a PC that can play games. You just don't. Like, you're still playing your PS3 probably. Like,
more or less.
Let's call a spade, you know? You probably just got your PS4 now. You're like, you're not that type. You're not that gamer. You're not the day one adopter. You're not the I need the newest thing. You're not me. You know, you're not Andy. You know, so I think money-wise, it doesn't matter. But if you want to get this in as many hands as possible, you can't ignore the fact that PlayStation two gens ago sold more than you. They're selling almost 3-to-1 now in this gen. You can't deny that the audience might be there. The audience that you know, it's a Venn diagram. Do you really want to ignore that whole other bubble? Probably not. And again, this is coming from a place of, yes, we believe that the PlayStation exclusives are what sell PlayStations, but we don't believe in historically multi-platform games becoming those exclusives. That's never something that we have championed here. We get it. We're not dumb. Like, we get it. It's a, you know, smart
business. It's business, of course.
But like, the Final Fantasy situation, like, Final Fantasy was exclusive to Nintendo forever. Then it became exclusive to PlayStation. Then it went multi-platform, whatever. Now it's going to be quote-unquote console
exclusive. Resident Evil. Same shit, dude. Right. PlayStation, then Nintendo.
Right. Console exclusive. Final Fantasy 16. Yay for PlayStation. But, like, it wasn't really historically multi-platform, although recently it was. So, like, whatever. But we're talking about, like, if Sony bought Sega and took...
Capcom.
Well, yeah, let's say Capcom, because Sega, Yakuza, is like, you could argue, is one of their bigger franchises.
Right.
But if they did take Capcom and took Street Fighter away from other gamers, like, we would be like, don't fucking do that. Why are you doing that? And they they would probably wouldn't do that. They would probably
You had the Street Fighter V argument where Sony had a hand in funding that game. In that instance, sure, if you're paying for that game to be made in some capacity and you want to lock down your system plus PC, you know, that's also a fair play too, I want to say, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, when you have to factor in, Steven, that Prey underperformed, Wolfenstein underperformed, even Doom underperformed sales-wise. Mm-hmm. Fallout 76 was garbage, a flop, a total failure. So I think to most people, if I were to tell them, hey, spend $15 a month and you can get the Bethesda catalog on your Xbox, as opposed to paying close to $80 for one game, you're going to see a huge uptick when those games come out in Game Pass subscriptions. It's a long game, I think,
right,
for Microsoft with this path they've chosen. But again, let's say they make half that money back. It's a drop in the bucket for Microsoft anyway, so who gives a shit? I just think no one can bitch about when you have a generation where people were saying that Xbox had no games, and now we're pondering over, oh, are you going to gatekeep those games from us now, Xbox? Well, they have the right to if they wanted to,
right?
And you got to eat it at the end of the day, plain and simple,
right? I want to get to the chat because, of course, our resident Buzz Killington is spreading misinformation.
I'm sure he's going off. I'm sure he's losing it right now.
He says, LOL, you say that, but Sony literally made Final Fantasy 16 exclusive. What we're saying is that kind of sucks that it would not be, but it's still going to be on PC, obviously. And historically, from the PlayStation 1 era all the way through up until mid-360 era, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 10,
mm-hmm,
12 were, mm-hmm, all PlayStation exclusive until, mm-hmm, they made Final Fantasy 11 available on 360 because that was an MMO, and they made it available on PlayStation and 360 and PC.
And 13.
And then 13. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm, 13 came out. They did all those multi-platform. And then 12 came out on other platforms after that. And then 15 came out and went to other platforms. Now they're reverting back to the way they did it for the 7 years prior to that. And they didn't buy Square to do it.
Right.
That's a very different argument. They didn't go and say, well, fuck you, we're buying you.
We're going to buy Square Enix and you're never going to get any other game.
They're buying an exclusivity. Like
Kingdom Hearts is going to be on the PlayStation, right, which was a PlayStation which franchise. Which was a
PlayStation
originally.
Exclusive as right. well. Right.
Right.
And then when 3 came out, they came out with the other games. Well, it was a PlayStation exclusive, mm-hmm, but also like they had all the Nintendo games too. They had all those, mm-hmm, those handheld games. Right. Another thing he said, mm-hmm, Buzz, of course, is getting into the whole PlayStation 5 is not launching with any exclusives, which is incorrect. Which is it's just incorrect. It's just not
even. Pretty sure Demon's Souls and Destruction All-Stars are two Next-gen only games, yes, on PlayStation
and
5.
And he calls Miles Morales an expansion, which again, for the 1 millionth time, it's
That's
not
also
an
not true. That's also not true.
Not an expansion. Confirmed not an expansion. It is a full video game. So again, knock it off. you know, and he's calling it's a PlayStation 4 game. You could say that. That's fair. You could play it on your PlayStation 4 if you want.
It is.
Great. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Literally every Xbox game that you could play, you could play on your Xbox One. You don't have a Series X. So again, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong, but, you know, eventually you just got to eat it. You know what I mean? Okay, so before we get into, we want to throw the floor to you guys. Any mailbag questions? We're going to talk about actually, Andy, why don't you take us into the hype zone while I bring up the Facebook question of the
week? You know, I think that this I had it tailor-made just for you, but I can go into it if you'd like.
All right, let me see. You're gonna tailor it to me. Let's do this. Okay, hold on.
This is I built this entirely for you. It's a game that you love.
I don't want to talk
plus.
Right now. You bring it into us. Go ahead.
All
right,
guys. I know we all love Spider-Man. He's a great character. I think he's at this point confirmed system seller for Sony. But I think this latest update to Miles Morales is really going to push the console sales. Now we discussed about predicting 300 million PS5 sold in 5 years as being horseshit.
Double that now.
But I think when you have this bit of news, you can safely double that estimation.
It. Absolutely double it.
And that is Spider-Cat.
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 Yep.
Is real.
Mm-hmm.
He is here, mm-hmm. and he will fight alongside you mm-hmm. in crime. Mm-hmm. This is it, Steven. Bringing them claws of fury.
So
he's got a Spider-Man mask. What more does. Do you want?
So a couple of things. It's Goose. Yes,
tell me.
The first thing is, it is one of those it's one of those alien cats from the Marvel Universe.
This is also Jones from Alien. A fun factory there.
So that's number one. Number two, I think the mm-hmm. best part about yeah. this is that it's a bodega cat.
Yes.
Which
you
is
can't
a,
get
which
more
is a
Brooklyn
very
than
unique,
a fucking bodega cat.
It's a very unique New York thing, yes. especially yes. like Queens and Brooklyn, like bodegas
right,
are like, well, I guess Manhattan too, but yeah.
and, sure. No, I would say more.
It's got Brooklyn, a, it's a New York. It's a New York thing.
Bodegas it's a New York thing. Right.
But like that's like a thing. You keep, they it. Keep cats in their stores to like kill the mice and like just hang out with customers. It's great. So yeah, we have Spider Cat gonna be in here, gonna punch bad guys with you, gonna do super moves with you. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. All right, let's get into the Facebook question of the week, which was, and this was from a friend of the show, MC Fixer on Twitch. Mm-hmm. He put on his Twitter this question, and I thought it would be a great question. What is the first game you're gonna pop into your next gen system? So you get it on day mm-hmm. one, you have your next gen system. What's the first game you're putting in there? Mm-hmm. And we answered this. We answered our questions last week. You said Demon's Souls. I said it's probably going to be Apex Legends and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So Matt Murray says definitely Spider-Man followed by Endless Cyberpunk, to which I replied mm-hmm. that Cyberpunk, the next-gen version, is delayed. So it's not going to be the next-gen version. He said he's just going to play the backwards compatible version. Perfect. No problem.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Christopher Sawchuck says Dan Aykroyd's platforming adventure. I have high hopes for this classic Commodore 64 game
Great.
Getting a remake.
Great.
Nate McInerney says I'll play Astrobot first while I wait for games to download, probably Bugsnax and Spider-Man. I don't think Bugsnax is
choices.
A launch game.
It is.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right.
It's a launch game.
Yes, it's a third party exclusive launch game. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Simon Holmes says Demon's Souls, although he is also getting Miles Morales and Bugsnax.
Nice.
Zach Riley of aka Buzz Killington says imagine putting a disc into a next gen console. You're an idiot. Josh says Demon's Souls whenever I get the PS5. Another Zach says probably Assassin's Creed Valhalla until Cyberpunk.
Okay.
Al Bob says I'm getting a PS5 digital edition, so no actual popping in the games, but I will be going with Spider-Man first without a shadow of a doubt.
See, that's a nice human answer to that question.
Yeah, right? Steve Burt Brutton says Destiny 2.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Thorn, our own dualscreens.com's own Thorn Stone says Demon's Souls 4K.
Love it.
Our own CT Dub, who's in this chat right now, says Ratchet and Clank for PS4 because I'm a technological dinosaur.
There you go.
Mark Starvaggi says Miles Morales, no question. And then Kelsey mm-hmm. says Bugsnax.
Man, that Bugsnax hype, I'm telling you right now, dude. Ooh. That's gonna be the sleeper hit
Bugsnax
of the year. Watch those sales, guys. I'm telling you right fucking now, that game.
Yeah.
That's gonna break fucking records. I shit you not.
Ooh, Bugsnax.
Talking about Bugsnax. Talking about and Mikey Kirsch in the chat.
Yes.
Imagine getting a next gen console to play Destiny.
Okay, here we go. CT Dub says, this is in response to Buzz Killington because, of course, Buzz Killington is starting shit with somebody he doesn't know. I'm talking about PS exclusives general like Ratchet & Clank and Uncharted, which I haven't played on PS4 yet because I haven't had a chance to buy one yet. So even though the Xbox Series S end up being similar financing, overall, I still want to get a PS4 first because of the exclusives.
It's a good deal. It's a good deal.
Indeed. All right, I think that's gonna do it for the mailbag. There's no other question. Unless chat, if you have questions, please throw them in the chat right now. It's no problem.
Yeah, if I want to use some channel points to redeem some stories, by all means,
now is the chance. Again, if you want to watch the show live, go to twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. If you're watching this on YouTube or if you're listening to the audio version, we do like to interact with the chat a little bit, especially at the end of the show. So please feel free to do that. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I'm at BatChild27 on Instagram and Twitter, and Andy's at Pants Guy. If you want to join our Facebook group, where we post the question of the day, question of the week, which I'm going to post right now, is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. So what do we want the question? Andy, I want you to get, what do you want the question of the week to be?
Oh no. I'm so unprepared. Oh, you know what? It's almost end of the month. Halloween's upon us.
Indeed.
What is your favorite scary game? What's your favorite horror game?
Okay.
That's what I want to know.
Okay. We're going to put a little background on this thing. We're going to put, let's see if we can get some scary stuff. Maybe a spooky skeleton. Oh, there we go.
Some spooky, some scary skeletons.
All right, there we go. Question of the week is posted. Let's go to the chat real quick. See what anybody has anything. All right, Buzz Killington here. Oh, Buzz Killington wants to talk about how Miles Morales is now wearing Adidas instead of Jordans. Who gives a shit? Next story. literally, who gives a shit? Like, I could not care any less.
We're not living in slow news. It's not slow news day, Polygon. Things happened in the world.
He could be wearing Fila. I don't care.
He wearing like, a fucking pair of Pumas for all I give a shit, Steven. That wouldn't bother me.
Sneakerheads worldwide care. Again, sneakerheads, I will never understand. I'll never get it. Yep. I don't understand having a sneaker to match every outfit. It's not for me. Yep. I wear my Adidas right here. My classics. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the shell tops this time. I got the classics. Love my Adidas. And also, I would never buy a pair of Jordans, so I really don't care what Miles Morales wears. Yeah,
that's PS5 money if I ever saw it. Right,
maybe there's going to be a download. Maybe there's going to be a DLC code for Jordans.
Yeah, DLC.
Like maybe he'll wear Tim's.
Yeah. You don't know.
Maybe when it snows, he's going to wear Timberlands.
You don't fucking know.
You never know. Anyway. What else? We wanted to give a special thanks to Zazu Pitts of Sour No Productions for our theme song. Thank you so much. Mm. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay and logos. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. Andy, before we get out of here, is there anything you want to tell the kids?
I don't know, man. I feel like it was a great episode. Play some scary games this month and watch all of our horror game coverage on the Dual Screens podcast.
Indeed.
Some fun stuff happening this month. And I love it.
I wasn't a part of this week's show. I feel left
you were
out.
There. You were there in spirit.
I was sending you rapid fire questions.
I saw it. And you know, you played the part of Sony listening to my conversation the whole time.
That's right. I'm going to get you, you little fuckers. All you little bastards out there.
You little shitheads.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for the show. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, chat. Thank you, listeners. And as always, please be excellent to each other.